Hi everyone, welcome to Evolving Vulnerabilities in Cyclone DX. I'm Gareth Rushgrove. I'm VP of Products at Sneak, as well as the curator of the DevOps Weekly newsletter. I'm also a long-time open source contributor. Probably most recently, I'm one of the maintainers for Conftest under the Open Policy Agent project. In this talk, I'm going to do a quick introduction to Cyclone DX. I'm then going to jump into a bit more detail about the vulnerability extension and talk about some maybe suggested improvements to the current spec. Finally, we'll round up with how you can get started yourself looking at and using the Cyclone DX project. Okay, over to a quick introduction. Cyclone DX is a lightweight software bill of materials standard designed for use in application security contexts and software supply chain component analysis. It was originally extracted from the dependency track project in OWASP, and it's an open specification that describes this bill of materials, a list of the software that other software might contain. As a project, everything is licensed under the Apache 2 license, which makes it easy to integrate with other software. And there's a number of different tools as well that form part of the project for working with software bill of materials for a wide range of different languages. There are also Cyclone DX integrations and projects outside the core project too. You can find out a lot more information about Cyclone DX at cyclonedx.org and on GitHub at cyclonedx. As a project, it's set out with a number of different sort of goals, I guess. The key one of these is to have a vendor-agnostic specification that's independent of languages or ecosystems. Ultimately, lots of software already allows you to get a list of software that software's built from. But invariably, that's coupled to some implementation or another. It's not the same data that you get back from one tool or another tool or another tool. That makes an ecosystem really sort of harder to build. Anything that wants to interact with that set of software has to implement a specific sort of parser every time. Cyclone DX is trying to solve that standardization problem. It provides schemas that do this, again, that are published publicly and evolved publicly. And these are available for both JSON and for XML. In particular, I'll call out one design decision here, which was to make the specification extensible. Ultimately, we'll talk about one of the extensions in just a moment. What does Cyclone DX output look like? Well, this is a XML document for a very simple software bill of materials. It shows a list of components, in this case, just one component. And that component in this case is an Apache library in actually Tomcat. And you can see other information in that data about that library, including things like the license that it's using, and a unique identifier, hashes of the file itself. I mentioned that Cyclone DX can also be rendered in JSON, and this is the same information again with the same library, with the same version, with the hash information available, this time in JSON. If you have a document that describes, again, the software in some software, the libraries and the packages and the different bits, it's often useful to have a list of vulnerabilities alongside those. And that's where the vulnerability extension in Cyclone DX comes in. This is, again, a separate schema that builds on the existing Cyclone DX sort of core software bill of materials schema. In particular, it adds the vulnerabilities property to Cyclone DX. This allows us to list vulnerabilities along with other details about a library or a component or a bit of software. So, what do we mean by vulnerabilities? Well, in the context of Cyclone DX, the spec describes something like this. So we can see that vulnerability has an identifier. It comes from a specific source. It has some ratings. Again, there's a lot of prior art around ultimately understanding the severity of a certain vulnerability. There's common metadata like CWE's description. There's also links or any information that is basically from additional advisories. But vulnerabilities are surprisingly complex. When you consider the real-world vulnerability data coming from lots of different sources, overlapping sources, different approaches to severity scores. Ultimately, the current specification, I believe, doesn't provide the richness that we need to really describe vulnerabilities. This was where I got involved in the project and opened a discussion about that schema. The maintainers are very open to evolving it, and there's a great conversation going on there. And I'd like to talk about some of the suggestions that we're talking about at the moment. One of those is adding support for source information on ratings. The specification currently supports having multiple ratings, but you can't tie those back to who made them, only how they were done. With a wide variety of different methods and different approaches to severity scores, it's critical you know who is providing that information. A good example here might be different information coming from NVD and different coming from the Debian security tracker. For example, if it's been triaged in the context of Debian and it doesn't actually impact that project. One of the other suggestions is related to that, support for multiple sources. Currently, vulnerabilities are single sourced in the schema. What this means is if you want information from different sources, you have to include that vulnerability multiple times in the list of vulnerabilities. But that's not correct. It's a single vulnerability. It's just that we know about it through multiple different databases. So natively supporting that ultimately cuts down on a bunch of noise within the output. Vulnerability scoring and severity sort of assignment is another area where I think it's useful to have a bit more flexibility. Currently, the schema is very specific. Scores have to be CVSS v3. They have to be composed of those three core components. I think ultimately it's more useful to also have arbitrary scoring alongside that as well. The last suggestion is more structured data around advisories. Currently, advisories can be anything. They're arbitrary strings. But all the examples and all of the recommendations around them being URLs, with that ambiguity, that makes the job of the person passing the form, who's going to use that information, harder. I think we should make this explicit and, again, not just support URLs, but have other fields as well. But adding a little bit more data into the output makes the job of the consumer much easier. So, in conclusion, I'd love some feedback on the open pull request that implements some of these changes. It's a small change to the schema, but I think has a better specification and makes it a really fit the real world use cases that this can be put to. I'd encourage you as well to experiment with CycleNDX. There's a number of tools, both as part of the project and elsewhere, that will allow you to create software bill of materials, consume them, produce reports from them. There's a lot of sort of open space here, I think, to experiment in. And last but not least, if this is interesting and you want to continue the conversation, join the project, get involved. You can join the mailing list, or there's an open Slack channel as well. So, come and discuss either vulnerabilities in CycleNDX or indeed any use cases you can think of for software bill of materials. Hopefully that's been a good introduction and a quick start to understanding CycleNDX and vulnerabilities in particular.